Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And we are back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Harold and I are back with you today to continue in this rich lesson, the benefits of being in Christ. So I hope you have hung in there with us as we move steadily through this teaching series. And we are on part 6 today, and we are so forever grateful for what God has done and is doing in your life and others around us today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and glorify Him and be glad in it. That's a benefit for being just a child of God. So Brother Harold, of course, is here with me in studio, and we are going to continue to comb through the scriptures that they would bring light or shed some light in a dark place in your life, possibly, or give you that a ray of hope so that you will know that being a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you will always know that you are never alone. And the more that you grow with us through Mission from the Heart Radio, the more that you seek out scripture for your own private Bible study, and the more that you draw in to the Lord, you will be blessed. So, Brother Harold, if you would continue to just carry us through this wonderful lesson that we have been following in scripture and with you, the benefits of being in Christ.
Amen, amen. Hello, everybody. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and again, along with my dear sister and friend, Sister Carnita Smith, we will be your teachers in the studio. I always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast and to let you know that it is an honor to be able to fellowship with you concerning the things of our Lord and our God. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into the teaching. And we will start out by reading our launch pad scripture, which comes out of the book of Psalms, chapter number 103, verses 1 and 2.
Psalms 103. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And it reads this way: Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Amen.
Amen. Now, we would like to read Romans chapter number 6, verse 1.
Romans 6, verse 1 reads this way: What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Amen. We want to look at that word sin, S-I-N. Now, the word sin in this particular text is referring to the sin nature. So somebody say nature. And this nature, sin, S-I-N nature, is what we inherited from Adam, the created Adam. And we're going to be calling him the first Adam. And we inherited this sin nature from Adam when Adam sinned and was disobedient against God. Now, this sin nature is also called the sin, S-I-N, propensity. And propensity, the word propensity means it's a nature. It's the tendency of that nature, the way that nature has the tendency to behave or perform. And it performs in a particular way according to the nature itself. And since we're talking about a sin nature, S-I-N, the propensity of that nature is to perform in a sinful way. That's all that nature can do, is sin. And if we walk in it, in that nature, that's why Paul is asking this question. Should we continue to live and walk according to the sinful nature that grace may abound? What he's saying is if we do, we're going to need some grace. Amen. So God can cleanse us and wash us over and over again. So it's referring to nature. S-I-N, sin, refers to a sin nature. Let's read 1 John. Chapter number 1, verse 9.
1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Now, we want to look at the word sins with the S, S-I-N-S. Now, this word refers to our individual sins. For example, lying, cheating, stealing, killing, lusting, adultery, fornication, i.e., etc., etc. I'm sure you get the idea. The individual sins. And just to summarize, we're talking about two different types of sin. And to summarize, in Romans chapter number 6, verse 1, we talk about sin, S-I-N, without the S. And we know that that refers to a sin nature that we inherited from the first Adam. And we went to 1 John chapter number 1, verse 9, and we got sins, S-I-N-S, and that is our individual sins. And understand that 1 John 1, 9 is a benefit for the believer, because if we do sin, all we have to do is confess it from our hearts, and then God will release his cleansing power, and he will cleanse us from the inside out. Unbelievers can't confess their sins. They have to get saved first. And once they get saved, then they get the benefit of confession. Okay, we're looking at the word sin without the S, S-I-N. Okay, the word sin is the root of sin. Somebody say root. It's the root of sin. It's the root for the sins with the S. So the S-I-N, sin, is the root for the S-I-N-S. Okay, now, the S-I-N, we could say it's the empowerment behind sin. We could say it's the motor behind our sin. It really what makes us sin, commit the sins, S-I-N-S. So all sins, S-I-N-S, come as a result of the root, which is sin, S-I-N, nature. Now, the Word of God likens us unto trees. I'll say that again. Let me say that again. The Word of God likens us unto trees. Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1 through 3. Let's read that.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Praise God. I'm just going to Psalm verse 1 and 2, just saying, be obedient. When we, as men and women of God, walk in obedience, now we go to 3, we're like a prosperous tree. Amen. We bear good fruit. Read Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18.
Matthew 7, verse 17. And it reads, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit.
Amen. Now, what determines whether we are a bad tree or a good tree? It's the fruit that comes forth off the branches of the tree. Now, what determines what a fruit that comes off the tree is the root, R-O-T. R-O-O-T, which is the sin, S-I-N, nature. The root of the tree, which is the nature of the tree. And if one is operating in the sin nature, that's a bad root. And that bad root cannot produce good fruit. The root we inherited from Adam is a sin root, which can only produce bad fruit. Because the sin root is a bad root. In order to change our bad root, we have to cut the tree down at the root and place it with a good root. Now, if we tell our testimony, some of us tried to change our tree by pulling off the bad fruit. individual sin, S-I-N-S. But because the root didn't change and the root was still bad, only more bad fruit grew back in the place of the bad fruit that we tried to pull off. We cannot make ourselves good trees by pulling off the fruit. But we must destroy the root, which is the nature that empowers us to sin. And we thank God that God has made a way. And he made a way by destroying that bad root and giving us a new root. He destroyed the bad root that came from the first Adam, giving us a new root that's come from the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Master. But we have to make him our Lord and our Savior and our Master. He wants to be everybody's Lord and Savior and Master. That's Jesus. And Revelation tells us that he stands at the door of our hearts, always knocking. And he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come fellowship with him, and he will fellowship with me. And by receiving Jesus, we get a new nature. Somebody say new nature. Mm-hmm. And that nature is a righteous nature. Amen. Amen. We no longer have that sin nature. And that righteous nature produces, you got it, righteous fruit. Yet. And once that old nature is destroyed, then and only then we will be able to deal with the fruit. Our fruit going to change. Amen. We hang around the word of God. Our fruit will change. Thank you, Lord. Effortless change. Amen. And our Heavenly Father knew this. He knew it too well. And that's the main focus of his awesome, notice I say awesome, awesome plan of salvation. What an awesome plan of salvation that we have. Now, we remember the story God told Adam that when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And we taught this over the broadcast that's in Genesis. And we know that Adam sinned and was disobedient against God's commandment, and Adam died. And we understand that Adam did not die a physical death, but he died a spiritual death. He lost the good root. Amen. Because the good root was the spirit of the living God himself. In other words, amen, Adam sinned. He was created with a good root, a righteous, spiritual, God nature root. But after Adam, the first Adam, after his spiritual death, he received that unrighteous sin nature root. At that very moment, Adam was spiritually separated from God. Now, this is the point I want to make out of that. And I want you to see this. Now, if something miraculous did not happen, Adam would be separated from God throughout all eternity. I just put that in layman's terms. Adam would have went to hell. That just layman's terms. If something miraculous didn't happen, and we know it did. Let's read Romans 5:12.
Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned.
Okay. Now watch this. I want you to grab this. Adam wasn't the only one that died spiritually on that sinful day. Adam wasn't the only one that was spiritually separated from God. All mankind spiritually at that moment, all mankind became sinful. All mankind died and was separated from God throughout all eternity. And I had to put that in there, throughout all eternity. And if something miraculous did not happen, all mankind would be eternally separated from God. And I want to hold this note. That's why when Adam sinned, God took him out of the garden so Adam could not eat from the tree of life. If Adam would have ate from the tree of life in that fallen sinful state, he would have had to stay in that sinful state forever. And we was in Adam's loins. And we would have had to stay in that sinful state forever. There would have been no hope for salvation. So God took Adam out of the garden and put angels in guard with swords to make sure that Adam would not eat up the tree of life in that sinful state. In other words, that very sinful moment, Adam and all mankind was on our way to hell. Now, this is the point I want you to see by the word of God, through the Spirit of our God. It wasn't our individual sins that was going to send us to hell. It wasn't. It wasn't our individual sin. It was our S-I-N, without the S, S-I-N nature. We was on our way to hell before we was even born. That's right. Before we was even conceived in our mother's womb. Before we even entered the earth realm. Before we even had a chance to commit one sin, we was on our way to hell. Let's support that with a scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 14.
Verse 14 in Romans 5. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come.
Amen. Now, this is hypothetical, but I got to put it out there. If we came out of our mother's womb and did not commit one sin, not one sin, we still would have went to hell. Because we was born with the sin nature. David said in the Psalm, I was born in sin and I was shaped in iniquity. My mother knew me, in sin. And we all was born in sin. We all was shaped in iniquity. And our mothers knew us in sin. We came into this world in a sinful nature. And know that that pastor said that the first Adam was a shadow and type of one to come. And that's our grace. That's our second Adam. That's our Jesus. And he came to take care of the sin nature problem. And that's a benefit of being in Christ, that we have a nature change. Amen. When we get saved, we get God's nature, that righteous and holy nature of our Lord and our God, created in his likeness, in his image. Amen. Let's bring spirit, soul, and body in here. We become a spirit, a born-again spirit. You know what he told Nicodemus? You must, powerful word, M-U-S-T, you must be born again. Must. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. And that's why we have to die to that old nature. You know, Paul said, I die daily. And the Romans tell us that, for he that is dead is free from sin. Yes, I am. That nature. Free from that sin nature. Amen. And we are joined to that beautiful, righteous, spiritual, holy, powerful nature of our Lord and our God. Now, we was spiritually dead, separated from God for eternity. And like I said, before we committed our first sin, amen. And I'm going to say this. So what I want you to see, it's not our sins, S-I-N-S, that takes us to hell. It's the nature. Amen. Because our sins, God made a way. We can deal with our sins. And my dear sister read it so eloquently at the beginning, 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins. And this, our faithful God, and just God, he forgives us of our sin, and he cleanses from all unrighteousness. And let me say this. Now, if we don't confess our sins, they still won't send us to hell. But watch this. I got to get it right. We will keep our position in Christ, but our sins will block the fellowship. Amen. We won't be able to fellowship because our sins will be in the way. To be a Christian and not be able to fellowship with our Heavenly Father, that's tormenting. Amen. And the enemy will try to torment us. Amen. It's just like you stand in the house with your earthly father and you don't speak with him and he don't speak with you. You have no relationship whatsoever. That's tormenting. Amen. So sin, what sin does is block the relationship, the fellowship. We're still in position, in the exalted position in Christ, seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. But the fellowship is broken. And I mean, you know, it's an oxymoron to be a Christian and not to have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what the fellowship really is, yes, you know it. You know what the fellowship is. The individual, intimate, personal relationship. That's what the fellowship is. Amen. And sin blocks that individual, intimate, personal relationship with the Father. Amen. And I thank God for the way, because we don't have to live with unconfessed sin. Amen. Amen. We immediately confess that thing. Amen. Immediately. Glory to God. So God, I know I've messed up, God, but I'm coming. Amen. That's a benefit. I'm coming to you, God. You glory to God. I'm coming to you. I may be broken. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm coming to you, Lord, with all of my heart. Amen. All of my mind. Glory to God. And all of my soul. That's the benefit. We don't have to live in unconfessed sin. We confess it, and God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He makes us whole again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I wanted you to see that we wasn't even in our mother's womb when we became a sinner. We wasn't. Amen. At that time, we became guilty of sin. At the time we became guilty of sin, we wasn't even in our mother's womb. Amen. Adam did it. When you said, well, how can one man do this for all of us? Well, you better be glad that it works that way. Because another one man came and said, because he set free, he set all of us free. Amen. One man set all of us free. I'll take that. Amen. You know, I'm guilty. One man made me guilty, but I tell you what, one man came and acquitted me. Amen. And I'm acquitted. And you are too, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Amen. But that's all right. That's all right. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and your Master. Amen. Why, I sense the presence of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Why, I sense Jesus' word knocking on the door of the hearts of the people. Amen. And Jesus is saying, if you hear my voice, amen, that's his word knocking on your heart. Glory to God. And you know why people knock on doors. They knock on doors because they want to come in. Amen. And Jesus just don't want to come in for a visitation. That fellowship means also is to make a habitation. He want to come and inhabit our hearts. Amen. He want to dwell with us and allow us to dwell with him. Amen. He wants to abide. Glory to God. His very life abiding on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. He want his great spirit to come into us. And the word is quicken, quicken. And quicken means made alive. He want to make us alive again. Glory to God. That Adam lost, he want to give it right back to us. That spiritual life, that spiritual connection, that individual personal relationship with the Father. That's what he's offering. Amen. And he that's have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to your heart and your mind and your soul. And open up that door, the door of your heart. Open it up and let Jesus come in. And I promise you, when he comes in, you will never be the same. Amen. He'll come in and become your higher power. He will empower you. Jesus said in the gospel that you shall receive power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. Yes, God releases Holy Spirit back into your heart. And Holy Spirit will begin to live with you and make the Word of God alive in you. And He will give you a brand new life. You know what Paul says about this brand new life? Paul said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ. And He's living His life in you. My brothers and my sisters, this is the hour to stop, drop, and pray. And I'm going to let my dear sister, friend, woman of God, Sister Kenita Smith, lead you into that life-saving salvation prayer that you can, you too can be part of the family of God, and the kingdom of God will come on the inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit, and God will be done through your life by the Spirit of the living God. Sister Kenita.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. So, brothers and sisters, if you would partner with us in prayer and touch and agree with us as we lift up those around us that we've been interceding for, and for the man or the woman who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, now is the day. Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made especially for you to give your heart to Him. So without further procrastination, hesitation, or anything else that would cause you to put Him on hold, don't do it. Do with what is been set aside for you to do today, and that is to give Him your heart. Give Him your life. And let's take prayer seriously right now. So those who you may know that you've been praying for, lift them up today. Call them by name. But the brother or the sister, let's bow your head, and if you would whisper with me, cry out, if you will, and just give Him your heart. These are the words, but it's your heart, and hallelujah, the Lord sees it. So let's bow our heads now and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I love you. I love you with my whole heart. Lord, here I am. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to finally surrender my life to you. My hands are high, my heart is heavy, but Lord, you make my burdens light. I believe by faith you are my Savior. And I know if I confess that I am a sinner, and I know that I am, you will set up residence in my heart, Lord. Please, Father, come in. I hear you knocking. I need thee. I need you every hour. I've said some things, Lord, that I know wasn't right. I've had some thoughts that weren't right. And I know my actions, Lord, did not please you. So I ask, Father God, if you would clean me from the inside out. Oh, how I love you. I pray this prayer, Lord God, with all humility, with all sincerity, and with a whole heart. Here I am, and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, you have done the best thing of your life, and that is to give it to Jesus Christ. Give it to the Lord. And hallelujah for taking that faithful step, the righteous step, the blessed step of giving your heart to Christ. Now, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church in your community, and that you would sign up to be baptized by the submersion of water. And when you come up, do a hallelujah dance. Tell somebody, I am alive in Christ Jesus. I am born again. And just let the world know that you are a child of God. And seek out a Sunday school class or a small group Bible study so that you could be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace. And this is one place that you can grow, and that is through Mission from the Heart Radio. So we are super excited for what you've done. And brother and sister that who's touched and agreed, continue to intercede for that husband, the wife, or that wayward child, or maybe even that coworker that you've been lifting up in prayer, that they would come to know Jesus as well. And so we just thank you. Thank you for what you have done, and we are so grateful to God that you have made the best selection of your life, and that is to be a child of God. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. So, Brother Harold, I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God for that awesome plan of salvation that was released into the hearts of the people through prayer by Sister Kenita Smith. And that great prayer just took us from being spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God, which the first Adam positioned us in, to being spiritually alive. Hallelujah. Joined to God in an intimate, personal relationship through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, I want to make a point here. See, there's an old man, but then there's a new man. The old man comes from the first Adam, but the new man comes from the second Adam. The old man is, we can say flesh, we can say carnal, we can say natural, we can say sinful. And the Bible even say that old man cannot even please God. The Bible say that old man is God's enemy. Amen. But the new man, the new man is spiritual, righteous, truly holy, beautiful and wonderfully made, the apple of God's eye. God look at that new man and say, that's my beloved, who I am well pleased. Now the old man, amen, and salvation dies. Amen. And that new life comes on the inside of us. And that new life is the very resurrection life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, living on the inside of us. And that's beautiful. That's a benefit, to have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. And you know, that life that we thought we had to live, no, that was a wrong life. That life we was living from the outside in. To live from the outside in is living upside down. That's upside down. Amen. But when the new life comes, now we live from the inside out. Amen. That's right side up. Amen. Glory to God. That's right side up. We're living right side up. We're living from our spirit, man. Okay. All right. Now, you gotta follow instructions. I want you to put your hand on your belly. Yes. That's your spirit, man. Amen. Glory to God. That's your spirit, man. The word of God tells us, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Glory to God. Glory to God. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Right there in our bellies. That's where the new man is. Now, listen out. So it's just one nature. Amen. We don't have two natures. You know, and I hear a lot of Christians saying, well, it's my old nature. No. You know how schizophrenic we'll be if we had two natures. I mean, come on, we got our problems now, but if we had two natures, we'll be totally messed up. You know, so God healed that old nature, and he gave us a new nature. Now, what the problem is, I'm glad you asked, but the problem is in our minds. Amen. What happened was the old nature, when he was around, amen, he programmed our mind to think like him. Well, yes, he did. He programmed our minds. Our minds were like a computer. Amen. And he programmed our minds to think and said, you know, amen, you know what comes after thought? An action. Amen. Yes. Amen. A thought comes after an action. So if we think the thoughts of the old man, we're going to end up doing the actions of the old man, even though the old man is dead. Amen. So that's why the Bible just constantly tells us to renew our mind. Amen. And that's, as Christian, that's what we should do daily, is renew our minds. Renew our minds daily. And you know what Jesus tells us? Lean not to our own understanding. That's Proverbs. So that's God telling us to lean not to our own understanding. Amen. We don't lean that way. We lean to our spirit man, where the word of God is. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. We let the word of God guide us. That's walking in the spirit. Amen. But as you continue to renew your mind with the word and saturate yourself and saturate ourselves, I'm in this too, with the word of God, one day you're going to be able to look inside of yourself and you won't see you no more. Amen. You're going to see Christ. You're going to be just like Paul. Yet it's not I. You're going to say I'm living, but it's not I. Amen. Glory to God. It's Christ. And Christ is living his life in me. Amen. The very life of Christ is manifested in us through the power of Holy Spirit and the word of God. Brand new, beautiful life. Amen. And we'll get to know. I didn't need the most thoughts anyway. Amen. Those thoughts weren't taking us to the kingdom of God. They were slowly trying to pull us away from God. Amen. Then we have to get in the word, and the word of God pull us back, pull our hearts and our minds and our soul back into the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Benefit the life of Christ. Amen. And I like looking inside myself and seeing Jesus. Glory to God. See, that's the miracle. Amen. And God don't hide that miracle from none of his children. Amen. And if we stay in the word and Bible study and small groups and just hang around that word, our miracle gonna come. That miracle gonna come, and you're gonna open your heart, and you're gonna see Jesus. Amen. And you're gonna say, oh, I don't even want Harold to come back. Amen. Glory to God. And we begin to renew that mind. Oh, what an awesome. I mean, this is just truly, truly awesome salvation that our Father has given us. And we just enjoy it in the midst of it all. Oh, praise God. All right. Let us go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 15 through 21. We read them last week, but we're going to use them to open up a door. I want while we're going to come to the end of this, I at least want the door to open. I'm going to open a door for you, and once I get that door open, maybe next week we're going to walk in it together. But let's just open it up today. So that would be Romans chapter number 5, verses 15 through 21.
But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So do you want me to keep reading, Brother Harold? We might have a little technical difficulty. Let me see if Brother Harold's mic is working. So we'll keep reading on with this wonderful verse in this wonderful passage in Romans 5 and continue in chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? And this is Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you want, or do you not know what? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ has raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now that's a benefit. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And this is what Brother Harold was saying. We will no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7 in chapter 6 of Romans. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And that's you and I. That is the ones who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's our born again nature. We have been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's a benefit. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death, hallelujah, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Hallelujah. That is a benefit. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. This is a benefit to us, knowing that when Jesus died and he got up from the grave couldn't hold him. That is the promise of us as well, us being the children of God, that he was raised from the dead. So will we. Verse 12 in Romans 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin. Do not, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And verse 14, and we'll stop there. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. That is a benefit of knowing a promise. We can take it to the bank that we know, that we know, that we know that sin does not have dominion over us. Now I'm talking about the believers in Christ Jesus. And we just prayed a prayer of salvation. So for those of you who are listening, I pray that you have accepted Jesus Christ, that you did not waste any time. And we know that tomorrow is not promised to us, but we can know without a shadow of a doubt that death has no power over us, and sin has no dominion over us. You, Brother Harold, we are alive in Christ, and we will be alive in Christ. Why? Because of that new nature that Brother Harold talked about. That new nature that gives us a right to the tree of life. We will pick up with part 7 of this wonderful series, Being in Christ. I just love it. It's so many benefits. And we can go on and on and on. But we know we've got to allow the Holy Spirit within you reveal the sweetness of His Word and revealing things to you intimately and personally that will anchor your heart continually to know that you have made the best choice of your life. Don't you ever forget it. Being a child of God has billions of benefits, trillions of benefits, so many that you can't count. And I just encourage you, brother and sister, to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you always. And we will continue to look at the benefits of God as we continue this series in part 7. So always remember, the grass withers and the flowers from season to season, they fade away. But the beauty of God and His righteousness will continue to be with us forever and ever. Amen, brother and sister, and God bless you, and have a wonderful rest of your week.